Chapter 11. The proles are human beings. In the room above Mr. Charrington's shop, Winston woke up beside Julia with his eyes full of tears. He had dreamed about his mother and sister, and the dream had taken place in the bright world inside the glass paperweight. The glass top of the paperweight had become the sky, and while he was inside the paperweight, he had been able to see his life clearly. He had remembered the last time he saw his mother, and now he was awake, memories of what happened before she disappeared came back to him. When his father disappeared, his mother did not show any surprise or any sadness, but she changed suddenly. She lost interest in everything. It seemed to Winston that she was waiting for something that she expected to happen. She did what was needed, cooking, washing, making the bed, cleaning the floor, very slowly. For hours at a time, she would sit very still on the bed, holding his young sister, a small, silent child who was 2 or 3 years old. Sometimes his mother would hold him very tightly in her arms for a long time without speaking. More than anything else, he remembered the arguments at mealtimes. He was always hungry. He would ask again and again why there was not more food. He would shout at his mother, and she always gave him more than his share. During every meal, she would ask him not to be selfish and to remember that his little sister was ill and needed food, but it was no use. One day, they were given a bar of chocolate. It was a small bar for all three of them. It was obvious that it ought to be divided into three equal parts. Suddenly, Winston could hear his voice shouting that he should have the whole bar. His mother told him not to be greedy. There was a long argument, and in the end, his mother gave 3/4 of the chocolate to Winston and the other 1/4 to his sister. Winston stood watching his sister, who was in his mother's arms as usual. Then suddenly, he took the chocolate out of his sister's hand and ran out of the door.
"Winston! Winston!" his mother shouted. "Come back! Give your sister back her chocolate!"
He stopped and turned, but he did not come back. His sister started crying quietly, and as his mother held the little girl more tightly, Winston suddenly realised that his sister was dying. He turned and ran downstairs. He never saw his mother again. When he came back, his mother had disappeared. This was already becoming normal at that time. Nothing was gone from the room except his mother and his sister. To this day, he did not know whether or not his mother was dead. But now, at last, he had remembered that he was not responsible for her death. He told Julia about the chocolate and his mother disappearing. Without opening her eyes, she said sleepily,
"I expect you were a horrible child. All children are horrible."
"Yes, but the real point of the story is..." Winston could tell from Julia's breathing that she was going to sleep. He continued to think about his mother. He thought about her holding his dying sister more tightly. She could not stop the child dying, but she could still love her. She felt that if you loved people, you just loved them, and when there was nothing else you could do, you still gave love. No power outside her could change that. The party had done 2 terrible things. It had persuaded people that feelings, like love, did not matter, and it had taken away people's power over their own world. 2 generations ago, people had cared about each other, whatever happened. Now, the party had power over everything people felt or did. But the proles, he realised, were different. They had remained like the people of his mother's generation. They did not care about a party or a country or an idea. They cared about each other. The proles had stayed human. "The proles are human beings," he said aloud. "Those of us in the party are not human." These thoughts continued to worry him, and when Julia woke up again, he said, "Have you ever thought that the best thing for us to do would be to walk out of here before it's too late and never see each other again?" "Yes, several times," said Julia, "but I'm not going to do it."
"If we continue our relationship, we will be caught," he said. "We've been lucky, but our luck can't last much longer. We may be together for another 6 months or a year, we don't know. But in the end, we are certain to be apart. Do you realise how alone we shall be? When they get hold of us, there will be nothing either of us can do for the other. If I confess, they'll shoot you. And if I refuse to confess, they'll shoot you just the same. Neither of us will know whether the other is alive or dead. The one thing that matters is that we shouldn't betray each other, although even that can't make any difference to what happens to us."
"Everybody always confesses," said Julia. "You can't help it. They torture you."
"I don't mean confessing. Confessing is not betraying someone. What we say or do doesn't matter. Only feelings matter. If they could make me stop loving you, that would be the real betrayal."
She thought about it. "They can't do that," she said. "They can make you say anything, but they can't make you believe it. They can't get inside you."
"I agree," he said. "They can't get inside you. If you can feel that staying human is a good thing, even if that doesn't change anything, you've beaten them."